Thank you, Colin. This topic here deals with narrow covered pavements. In this case, it's an evaluation of a bike trail. A lot of money is spent by the DOTs across the country building bike trails as part of the transportation funds, what's called ICE-T. Anyway, what I'm going to do is go through an experiment where we tried different widths of horizontal barriers and see how well they worked. What has happened on this section of pavement, this is in Norman, Oklahoma, it experienced a lot of longitudinal cracking. And the reason it cracked, it's on a fairly shrink swell soil called a Kirtland soil series. It's a highly desiccated type shallow clay. And what we did, we tried three moisture barrier widths. Now, these are in meters, but the first one is 2.13. That's roughly 7 feet. Then the next one, 5.2, is 5 feet. And 0.91 is 3 feet. And we used a PVC flashing material. It's a polychlorine vinyl material, and it's pretty much impervious. And the experiments involved a 274.31 meter length of realignment of a 5-year-old bike trail. And anyway, like I said, it suffered longitudinal cracking, and so I'll show you some pictures of what had happened. Right down in here, this is part of the existing bike trail, and as you can tell, it has lots of longitudinal cracking. What had happened, over in this area, the street was being widened out for a center median turn lane. So, and this length right here is the control and the test sections. And the Kirkland soil is a fairly, in this case, a fairly 0 to 1% slope soil. It's like I say, a desiccated type clay. And these cracks that were in the bike trail had been in existence for about 5 years, were quite wide. And the anytime you put a pavement, whether it's a bike trail or a city street or whatever, you cover the ground cannot breathe, and so the ground wants to change. And so the question becomes is what is the proper width of these bike trails? Right in here is we tried a 7-foot width, and then you had a 5-foot width, and you had a 3-foot width. This is the bike trail and the control section right in here. The section of the pavement is roughly 10 feet wide, and we undercut this by exactly 12 inches and removed all the material and brought back a material. And what we are doing, this is the flashing being put on the exposed subgrade. The subgrade was first treated with a cement kiln dust as a base course. And then we put this flashing material, and then it was cut in strips so it could be handled, because you can't we nailed all the strips down. And here you can see this is the 3-foot, the 5-foot, and the 7-foot widths. And the object here is to see if this controls the control of longitudinal cracking. Once that was done, the pavement was put in place, and then the material was backfilled on both sides of the pavement. And here you can see this is the finished subgrade. The next thing, we put a slab sod on the location. And as you'll note right in here, there are no trees in this control section. We worked out an agreement with the city of Norman. They had planned to put trees along the bike trail, and so we had a window of 3 years where we could study this pavement condition. This is a section of the test section, and it has no cracks in it. Now here is the control section, which is to look into the east. And after a while, approximately a year and a half or so, we start to see the longitudinal cracks come back. This area had no horizontal barriers, membranes whatsoever. Now what we had done at the site, as most geotechnical people do, we had did a detailed boring log, and I'll call your attention to this moisture profile versus depth, and then the clear circle or a clear triangle. These were done at two different times. We sampled the initial moisture content in August of 2003, and then we came back and we sampled the profile with depth in May of 2005. And you'll see what happens in the soil structure in with depth and clays. The moisture content fluctuates wildly. And below a certain depth, and in this case, it's an expansive or a shrink swell soil. Right in this area is where the active depth, and that's a zone. Let me go back. That's a zone where moisture fluctuates with depth, and below the active depth, then the moisture more or less stays constant, and it doesn't change that much. To further characterize the site, we did 10 cone soundings, and the importance of this picture here is right here from 0 to roughly 1 3/4 meter, you have a big bulge, and this bulge here, this is where the clay is desiccated. It shrinks and it swells, so it's highly cracked. It has a cracked structure to it. Well, the first thing we did to characterize this material, we have, and in the active zone, which is, turns out to be about 1.6 meters, we broke the layer, that 1.6 meters, into six layers, and we took samples from those different layers, and we constructed a volumetric moisture content versus a gravimetric moisture content correlation. And this is important because moisture content is very easy to measure as opposed to soil suction. Certainly in the field and certainly in the laboratory, it's much easier to measure. So with this correlation, which we'll use in the next thing we did a soil characteristic curve. This is a wetting curve. And we plotted the curve, the volumetric moisture content versus matrix suction. And you can see this is the typical range that we found. Now then, the curve was the equations we used to construct that curve was the Frillin and Zing model, and these are the parameters that we estimated and used to make the curve. Now this figure is kind of points out the problems with soils, certainly shallow soils. This is a plot of the Thornweight Moisture Index versus time. And what the Thornweight Moisture Index is very quite old. It's a very old correlation, but it deals with bringing the concept of the climate and the environment in connection with the soil. Here's was the date of the reconstruction of the bike trail in July of 2003. And you notice when you have a zero zone, you have a negative and positive Thornweight moisture indexes. Here we're in a zone where the moisture content is wet, and as the moisture content gets drier, it produces a negative Thornweight moisture index, and you can see right in this area, right here, it gets to a peak. A low value, and then the moisture tries to increase again, and then you have the cycle repeat itself over and over. Now then, if you take a look at the matrix suction versus depth from the two dates that we sampled, We go to the took the moisture content at those things, and we found. Let me back up. We take the moisture content at those two depths, and then we enter the characteristic curve, and then you can find the volume. You go there and find use the volumetric moisture. You can find the soil suction, which is what we. Let me go back this way. I'm going the other way, sorry. We did this to show the effects that the suction changes with depth in cycles along with the climate. Now then, the idea that you have an edge moisture distance, which is labeled EM, what this means is in any pavements you put down on the ground, it doesn't matter. It could be a bike trail or a concrete pavement or whatever. There is this edge moisture distance where the moisture varies from the. You have one side is covered and the outside is not covered, and the moisture varies because the suction pulls the water away from that or increases in that regard. Well, what we did, we used two different methods of calculating this EM value, the McKean and the Johnson method, and a newer method, we have the Agari and Ray method, and in this case, you have to estimate a diffusion coefficient. That's this alpha value right here. And you'll find out the edge moisture, these moisture distances are in meters. So if you had a 3 foot wide pavement, the bike trail, that means that the moisture can be pulled almost all the way from the middle of the pavement all the way from the outside to the outside. So what the end result was, the barriers we found were pretty effective. The barriers were pretty effective. In the 22 months that we studied this pavement before we had to quit, we found no cracks in the in any of the three widths of the horizontal barrier that we put down. And it was in the Elgrayer and Ray method, it's dependent on the moisture diffusion coefficients that you select. So that's it. Okay.
Are there any questions for Dr. Neville? One question for me.
Okay.
It appeared that we didn't get to see kind of the end of the story because of the trees there.
Well, what happened at the end of the 3 years, the city of Norman planted a row of trees along this bike trail. And since that time, I've checked this pavement again and again. It's completely destroyed. The trees pull, the root system in the trees pull tremendous water content out from under the pavement. So when you do, what this study was to see the effect if you just had no environmental effects and you put the barriers down and they were very effective. What we learned of the project was that actually the edge moisture distance was almost right at 1 meter. And we put down a meter or 0.91 meter width of pavement or horizontal barrier, and it was totally effective. Had I thought about this earlier, we could have put down one that was less than that, and that may have produced some cracks. But in the case that we applied, all three horizontal barriers produced no cracks. Yes, sir.
Can you derive from your measurement also the rigidity limits of your soil, which means what is the limit for your retention curve, and where can you then say, come on, or can you say, depending on your pavement and depending on your horizontal shielding, how far are these soils really rigid? So you can control by the suction also, let's say, even the vegetation. irrigation?
Well, that characteristic curve that we produced was for the active zone, which is about 1.6 meters. So in that depth, yes, we can. We can. But it's dependent upon the characteristic curve. We can estimate that.
But you can then also use that for irrigation purposes.
That's right.
In order to prevent cracking.
That's
on.
Right. But, this project had quite a few limits on it. You know, we had that window where we could, we had no trees. But if you go back and look at that today, it's cracked all the pieces. And so, but anyway, that's another story.
Thank you very much.
Okay.